Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the 2020 Big Ten Hockey Pre-Tournament Coaches Teleconference. As a reminder, this call is being recorded Tuesday, March 3rd, 2020. At this time, I would like to introduce your moderator for the teleconference, Big Ten Assistant Commissioner of Communications, Adam Augustine. Please go ahead.
Good morning, and thank you all for joining us on today's Big Ten Hockey Coaches Teleconference. The 2020 Big Ten Tournament will continue to feature a three-weekend format with all games taking place on the campus of the higher-seeded teams. The tournament will open this weekend, March 6th through 8th, with three best-of-three quarterfinal series. The three teams advancing from the quarterfinals will join Penn State in the single-elimination semifinals, which are scheduled for the weekend of March 14th through the 15th. Teams will be reseeded for the semifinals, with Penn State hosting the lowest-seeded advancing team and the highest-seeded advancing team hosting the other semifinal. The highest-seeded team remaining after the semifinals will host a single-elimination championship game scheduled for the weekend of March 21st, 22nd. The first coach on today's teleconference is Notre Dame's Jeff Jackson. The Fighting Irish enter the Big Ten tournament as the number 5 seed and will visit Minnesota in a quarterfinal series beginning on Friday. Coach, thank you very much for joining us today. Let's go ahead and open the call for questions.
At this time, if you would like to ask an audio question, please press star 1 on your touchtone phones. Once again, that is star 1 to ask an audio question. Your first question comes from the line of John Vinarin with South Bend Tribune.
Morning, Jeff. Was just wondering if you could talk a little bit about your team coming off of last weekend and going up to Minnesota, where you think you are, and also your thoughts about the Big Ten season that just completed.
Well, I mean, we've actually recovered from our first half slump, and I think we've played pretty good hockey in the second half. Still have some inconsistencies in our game where we're a little bit up and down from game to game. And that way it's been a roller coaster ride. The positive thing is that we have played well on the road here in the second half, coming off a couple good games in Penn State, our two-game series against Michigan. And that gives me, confidence thinking going into Minnesota that, at least we have a fairly good idea of what we have to do and to be successful on the road. So that'll be the biggest challenge. Is making sure the guys are focused to play the same way that we have the last two road series that we played in the Big Ten.
Your next question comes from the line of Dan Kelly with Big Ten.
Jeff, thanks for the time this morning. Minnesota is a young and fast team. How do you deal with that speed?
Well, we just played them about 3 weeks ago, so we know their skill level and their speed. They're a very good transition team. We just have to make sure that for me, it's always anytime you're playing good teams, it's really about what you do with the puck. Because if you make bad decisions with the puck, you make, bad shot choices. If you miss the net, if you turn the puck over in key areas of the ice, that's where their game thrives. So, for me, it's more about what we do with the puck and making good puck decisions, try not to complicate things offensively. And then you're going to have to defend because they do have skilled forwards. They have a lot of speed, and they've got some skilled guys on the back end as well. So, they're going to be an awesome team over the next few years, and I think they've shown that here in the second half. Now that they've really learned the discipline of Bob's system and I think that, certainly going to be a challenge defensively. But I truly do believe that it's, going to be more about us and managing the puck and doing, the right things with the puck.
Once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your touchtone phone. Once again, that is star 1 to ask an audio question. Your next question comes from the line of Megan Ryan with the Minneapolis Star.
Hi, Jeff. How are you today?
I'm good. Thank you.
Good. I just wanted to ask, Minnesota is one of the younger teams, and I think in the beginning of the season you kind of saw them, their inexperience was a bit of a hindrance, and they figured it out towards the end. But I'm just curious, from your perspective, how much does having playoff or postseason experience or just that kind of veteran mentality help when you get to this point of the season?
I think it helps, but I think you also have to understand that they do have some, you know, even though they're a younger team, they still have some veteran guys that have been through it. So it's no different than our team. You know, we have 17, 18 underclassmen as well. So it is about, you know, the older guys leading the way and making sure the young guys understand, okay, you know, things are going to be a little bit tighter in some areas and, you know, we have to be a little bit smarter in some areas. And, you know, it still boils down to the veteran guys and the leadership guys, you know, to kind of guide the young guys through the process. And, you know, frankly, these young guys, all of them, I think that they all generally play in some kind of a playoff format, whether it be in the United States Hockey League, even like the young guys in Minnesota that play in the state tournament. They've been through the pressured situation, so it's not like a huge, huge adjustment for a lot of them. I think that that's something that's probably, you know, that's probably maybe something that's really not as big a factor as people might want to make it out to be.
Your next question comes from the line of Fred Pelz with the Big Ten.
Hey, hi, Jeff. How you doing?
I'm good, Fred. How are you?
Good. Hey, two-part question. From what you've seen of the Big Ten this year, is there anything such as game-to-game momentum going into the playoffs?
Not from our team. you know, I every team's different. You know, I think that the conference is just so balanced, and you know, every team's got a little bit different look to them, but the conference is so balanced that it's hard to get a consistency in your game. And the teams that have had the most consistency are the ones at the top of the standings, just because they found a way to, you know, to play consistent through the conference schedule. But it is challenging when you're facing teams that are highly skilled or good defensively, good goaltending, whatever it may be. I mean, it's a challenge every weekend. No matter who you're playing in the conference, you're going to always have some major obstacles to overcome. So it's hard to develop that consistency when you're playing teams that are all, you know, similar in ability.
Yeah. And then I think there's four or five native Minnesotans on your roster, plus the Steves who are returning home. Is that any advantage at all, just from a familiarity of surrounding standpoint?
We've had guys that, you know, that excel when they play at Minnesota, and we've had guys that maybe get nervous by the moment. So it varies from year to year with different guys. But, you know, it's certainly, you know, between that and the amount of alums that we have in the area, it, you know, it helps us sometimes with the crowd. Because we usually get a pretty good Notre Dame contingent when we play at Minnesota because we have so many Minnesota alumni. But that also includes families, too, and friends from the players on our team. So, you know, we like the Minnesota boys as much as anybody as far as the type of players they are, but also the type of kids they are. So, and academically, they're generally good students. So, but it's, you know, I don't know if there's an advantage to it, but, you know, it's kind of a neat thing for them, and it's nice for them and their families to, you know, to have the opportunity to play back in their home state.
Thanks.
We can take one last question for Coach Jackson.
Thank you. Our last question comes from the line of Mike Morelli with NHL.com.
Hey, Jeff. Thanks for doing this. Jeff, what has most impressed you about your senior goalie, Cal Morris?
You know, Cal's, you know, he's been the rock back there for 3 years now. I think that the thing that, you know, when I know he's playing at the top of his game, he's generally what we call a quiet game. And that means he's really dialed in as far as his, not just his positioning, but his ability to respond to the initial save, his rebound control. When he's playing that quiet game, generally pucks, you know, go right into him, and even with traffic, you know, he has the ability to control that situation pretty well. And that's, you know, that's his focus. And, you know, he tracks the puck extremely well. And he, you know, he has really good skating ability, you know, down low in his crease. He's really strong with his edges. And he just has the mobility and the ability to get across the crease and be in control of his game. And that's, you know, that's probably his strength. And for me, that just playing that quiet, confident game that he has the ability to do.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thank you.
Coach, thank you for your time and best of luck in the tournament.
Thank you very much.
The next coach on the teleconference is Michigan State's Danton Cole. Michigan State is the number 6 seed in the Big Ten tournament and will visit number 3 Michigan in a best-of-3 quarterfinal series beginning on Friday. Coach, thank you very much for joining us today. If you could make some opening comments, then we'll go ahead and take questions.
Not a ton of opening comments other than, you know, kind of like everybody else, you know, you battle through the Big Ten season and you have some ups and downs and we were battling it there for a couple weeks and I think it was good to, go and have some success on the road. And I thought we played pretty well at Notre Dame. We got a win and a tie and for our guys and, you know, especially our younger guys, it was good to get through that and kind of get that feeling of winning again. And, you know, hey, now we head on to Michigan, which will be, Big Ten playoff matches are tough enough as they are, but it'll be exciting, playing a rival right down the road, you know, an hour down the road. And I think the guys are excited and looking forward to it.
Thank you, Coach. We'll go ahead and open the call for questions now.
At this time, if you would like to ask an audio question, please press star 1. Once again, that is star 1 to ask an audio question. Once again, if you would like to ask Coach Cole a question, please press star 1. You have a question from the line of Dan Kelly with Big Ten.
Dan, did you ever experience Michigan State when you played in a playoff?
You know what? It's funny because I was thinking about that. I don't think we ever in the CCHAs, not that I remember, have a series with them. So that and I was kind of surprised, kind of looking back and trying to remember that. So, it was interesting, but no, not that I recall.
If you were to tell your freshman, you know, how playoff hockey changes, how would you describe it to them?
Well, you know what? One thing about the Big Ten is that, you know what? I would tell them it's going to be an awful lot like, the last two weekends, you know, when Ohio State at home and then in Notre Dame on the road. I mean, those were playoff games, but that it's going to be, you know, it's going to bump up even a little bit more because, you know, now you're looking at, hey, that, you know, the play you make, you know, that might be the difference between continuing to play or, you know, getting ready for the summer. So a little more at stake. And if you can believe it, that things will tighten up even a little more. It'll be a little more physical, a little faster and have to do things a little harder. But, you know, they're, you know, battle tested, I think, pretty well going through it because it's a grind in this league and really the whole second half, you know, since Christmas coming out of the GLI, it's really felt like the playoffs had started. So, you know, I'm hoping that they've kind of got that feel and they've got a little bit under their belts now.
Your next question comes from the line of Mike Morelli with NHL.com.
Hey, Danton, thanks for doing this. Glad to
hey,
talk
Mike.
To you again.
Danton,
what has most impressed you about your center there, your senior, Patrick Kotarenko? What has he brought to the team?
Well, you know what, he's, you know, Patty's still, you know, he's a senior, but geez, he just turned 21 this fall, so he's still a young guy. But, you know, what's impressed me probably the most is just, you know, over the time I've been here, and then I was with him for a couple years with the NTDP as well, so 5 of the last 6 years, you know, we've been together, is that, you know what, he's continued to get better, and that's a hard thing to do, and it's a great attribute, and the guys that can go on and play are the ones that continually do that. And, you know, for a guy like him, I mean, he's, you know, he's almost 6'1", he's, you know, 200, 205 pounds, and, you know, great shape, great hands. Like, it would be easy to just kind of sit on it and play and be a good player and see where you go. But, you know, he's continued to work on his game, like the whole 200 feet of the game. And he gets, you know, the way we're set up right now as a team, he gets some tough defensive matchups. And sometimes coming out of the weekends, you know, he might not have any points or whatever, but he's had to play against the other team's top line for 120 minutes. He's had to kill penalties and take draws and, you know, just be a real complete player. And that's, you know, he's handled that. He's still put points up. They still receive a ton of attention, like, you know, like they have the last 3 years, you know, whatever line he's been on. So, you know, I think just his, you know, his approach to the game and his professionalism and, you know, just keep working on getting better and being, you know, because there's only a few guys in the NHL that can be real one-dimensional, and even those guys are kind of, you know, Sidney Crosby, arguably still the best player in the league, and, you know, that guy's a savage from, you know, one end to the other, and that's really how you got to play the game, and Patrick's worked on that, and I think it's going to give him a chance.
How about that the draft-eligible forward you have on your club there, Dan, Nicholas Muller? How do you like his play this year?
Yeah, you know, he's had a, if I could kind of plot it on a graph, a very typical freshman year, and especially considering, you know, a European player coming over and having to adjust to, you know, to language, and I think English is his fourth or fifth language, so he's pretty good with those, but still, it's a new environment, and, you know, jumping back into school and, you know, finding a different role and playing in North America as opposed to, you know, he's in Sweden playing juniors the last 3 years, so, you know, he's had to face an awful lot, and I think he's done a good job. He started out real strong, and you know, had a little bit in the middle, which is not unusual, where there's that lull in the newness and, you know, the grind kind of takes over. And I think he's kind of coming back out of it and giving us some real good minutes. And he's been on one of our power plays all year. So, I think he's really starting to figure out the game over here. And now he's able to hang on to the puck a little bit longer and make some plays. And, you know, we're starting to see his talent come out in the way that he thinks the game. So, you know, I think he's worth a draft pick. He's a smart player, and he's going to continue to get better. But no, we've been happy with him, and you know, he's been a good part of our team.
Perfect. Thanks, Nathan.
Yep. Thank you.
Once again, if you would like to ask an audio question, please press star one.
Coach, thank you very much for your time, and best of luck in the tournament.
All right. Thank you.
The next coach on the teleconference is Wisconsin's Tony Granato. Wisconsin is the number 7 seed in the Big Ten tournament and will visit second-seeded Ohio State in a quarterfinal series this weekend. Coach, good morning. If you could give us some opening comments, then we'll go ahead and take questions.
Good morning, Adam. Well, nice to join all of you. I'm obviously excited about the last few weeks and how the season's gone for us, and looking forward to going back to Ohio State and starting playoffs.
Thank you, Coach. We'll go ahead and take questions now.
At this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1. You have a question from the line of Dan Kelly with Big Ten.
Hey, Tony, you know, looking back on the season, obviously you guys finished strongly and started very strong. When you look back at that sweep of Minnesota Duluth, you know, you often hear the terms "don't get too high, don't get too low" in sports. Do you think that was maybe a bad thing, and you guys got a little too high with that start?
Yeah, Dan, I don't know if it was necessarily that. I think that you know, we had a lot of skill in our lineup. We're young, we know that. I knew we'd have some sort of hurdle to have to overcome. I didn't think it'd take that long to get out of a tailspin. And, you know, we struggled for, you know, the middle few months of the season. I thought, you know, that probably a few weeks before our Arizona State weekend, when we swept Arizona State, I thought we were playing really well, but the results weren't catching up with the way we were playing. So I think we had that great start, like you said. We tailed off for a longer period of time than we had hoped, but I think we're back on track now. I think our younger players have gained a ton of experience dealing with some of the adversity or things that didn't go well during that stretch, and now confidence is at a season high. And, you know, when you dig yourself a hole and you position yourself like we did in being, you know, a bottom seed, the encouraging part is we didn't bail out. We didn't, say, oh, you know, it's not happening for us this year. We actually buckled down and became a much better team, you know, through all of that. And the last few weeks, you know, you could see it building, and now that we're starting playoffs, I don't think any of the, you know, hiccups we had during the season, you know, mean anything. But means something now as we're playing our best. Our team feels good about itself. All of our players seem to be playing their best hockey of the year at the same time. And it, you know, gives us the excitement of knowing that we could go into any building. We can beat any team. We've proven that with the Duluth series. We've beaten every team in our conference. We've won on the road. We've won tight games. We've won kind of games when we were trailing, similar to the one Saturday. So we've won in different ways. And so when you head to the playoffs, you want to be a confident team. You want to believe. And, you know, right now we feel good about ourselves.
Your next question comes from the line of Jeff Myers with The Rink Live.
Good morning, Tony. I'm just curious, when you're playing a team twice in 2 weekends, back-to-back, you know, you played so well last weekend. Do you have to come in with a different approach this weekend because the Buckeyes know all your secrets now, or do you tell your guys just try and repeat what you did last weekend?
Well, that's a good question, Jess. I think the most important thing is the last few weeks with the opponents we've had. We had Penn State, Arizona State, Ohio State the last 3 weekends. All three of those were top 10 teams. All three of them were playing for tournament bids or Big Ten titles. So we played the playoffs starting 3 weeks ago. So that was our mentality, is to try to establish ourselves against, put ourselves in a position that these were our playoffs, and we had to figure out how to beat these teams in a series type of, and we were able to do that. So I think, you know, with what happened last week, all we're going to try to do is a continuation of what we've been doing the last 3 weeks. So I don't know that Ohio State, you know, learned more about us than we learned about them. I know they're two really, really good hockey teams. I think we both know our strengths. I think there's, you know, areas of the game against Ohio State that we were able to play well against or think that we had an advantage in, and that's what we'll try to continue to do, you know, as the series begins on Friday night. So they're a great team. They're a way more experienced team than us. They've been through this. They've been in the tournament. They won the Big Ten last year. They're a team that's got a ton of players that have gone through this before. We're brand new to it as far as the experience goes. And our guys right now, though, with the way the last 3 weeks have gone, this is the way you want to go into a playoff series after, you know, having a kind of a few practice rounds leading up to it. So, you know, I don't know, you know, if Ohio State will make a ton of adjustments. I know they know our team real well. I think they know our skill really well. And we know their team very well. So I think it's going to be a great matchup. It's exciting because, like I said, we're playing the best hockey we've played all year, and we know we're going against the top team, so it should make for a great series.
Your next question comes from the line of Nathan Wells with NCAA.com.
Hi, Coach.
Hi, Nathan. Good morning.
Good morning. Your team has had a lot of success against top teams. You mentioned the last 3 weekends you're playing against three teams that'd be in the NCAA tournament today. What has been the common denominator for success against these top teams? Obviously, you've won in several different ways, whether it's high scoring, whether it's playing defense, but just kind of what are you seeing from your team that seems to translate throughout all these wins?
I think, first of all, you know, we're relatively healthy right now. I know we went through a couple stretches there. We missed Roman and Sean for a few games. We missed Turcotte for two different times. We missed Zimmer at different points of the year. We missed a few other guys that were key players at different points of the year. But it seems we got healthy. It seems that our younger players, as the years gone along, have matured very, you know, very fast way. So I think that their games have improved, and when you're a young team and you're going through lots of new experiences and going into new buildings and playing against, you know, players that you've never played against, there is a learning curve there. So I think that as a group, we've gained confidence, we've gained momentum on the past few weeks. And what I like is, like I said earlier, you know, about 4 weeks ago, we were down in the dumps. I mean, we were playing good hockey, and we were still losing. And that was a point where I was a little concerned with the being such a young team that guys might be thinking ahead to next year or thinking about, okay, what am I going to do at the end of the year? And it's been absolute opposite of that. Whereas, you know, they've manned up to it. They've, you know, decided that, you know, the way we were going, we could find a way to get out of it. I think that the older players, Max Zimmer is one of them, Ty Felton-Bice is one of them, obviously our captains, and Kalmuck, Baker, and Doogie have a lot to do with that as well. As they just, you know, made a decision, guys, we, you know, we're not in a good spot, but, you know, we got a great group of kids here, we got a great group of players here, so let's find a way to make something of this. And it's been fun to watch. A month and a half ago, it wasn't much fun around here, but... You know, watch our group battle through this and see some really exciting development from not only the skill part of it, but I just think the leadership part of it, the coming together as a group part of it, we can do this type of attitude has been fun. And a month and a half ago, you know, we were hoping this would, you know, turn into a season like this where we could go in the playoffs with some momentum and playing our best. And because of that leadership, because of the development of the younger players, that's where we're at.
Thank you, Coach.
Your next question comes from the line of Mike Morrell with NHL.com.
Hey, Tony, thanks for doing this.
No problem, Mike.
How is the development path of Dylan Holloway progressed this season? Like, when he's at his best, what is he doing well, and where maybe does he need to improve?
Yeah, well, I think he's had an outstanding year right from the start. I know, just because of all of the attention he gets from the NHL scouts and media, he came in at 17-year-old, and his numbers last year were kind of off the charts with his team and the juniors, and I think everybody thought he'd come in here and just, you know, start to score right out of the gate. His production hasn't kept up with how well he's played. So, you know, a lot of people were saying, well, he doesn't have that many points, he must not be playing well, and he was absolutely the opposite. He was creating chances, he was solid defensively, he's strong on the puck, he's been a great teammate. I think the past few weeks you've started to see more of the offensive chances turn into goals and assists and plays that have, you know, found the back of the net. So I think it was just a matter of time before he was going to break out and the scoring would come. So his development for me, you know, he's proven to me that he'll be a great NHL player at some point. And what he's done throughout the year has been very consistent. He's a competitor. He's a phenomenal teammate. He does everything for anybody on his team. So I think that, you know, I don't know what his draft position is right now, but I know whoever does draft him, you know, come June, that they'll be real excited to have them in his organization, because he's going to be a really good player. He's strong on his skates. He can play all three forward positions. I haven't used him on the PK this year. I thought that would have been too much for him. He's obviously on a power play unit, but he's a guy that, you know, whatever the coach needs and whatever your team needs, you can ask him to do it, and he'll find a way to do it and do it very well.
Great. Thanks for that, Tony.
You got it.
We can take one last question for Coach.
Your last question comes from David Eckert with Blue White Illustrated.
Hey, Tony, how you doing?
Good morning, David. Doing well, thank you.
Tony, I wanted to kind of ask, you had touched on, you know, some of the mental aspects and the leadership that's kind of made these last three weekends possible, but I'm curious how you've seen that translate on the ice. Is there something that's happening, you know, over these 3 weeks that wasn't before that you can touch on, or is it just better puck luck, or you kind of got there?
Yeah, I don't think it's puck luck. I think that, you know, Dan mentioned earlier that we had the great start, came out of the gate flying. There were lots of expectations with the skill set that we have. It's probably one of the most skilled teams I've ever been around, be it college or the NHL. We got a lot of guys that are going to go on and play a lot of hockey. We were just young and raw, and you know, I was hoping things would come together a little quicker than they did. But I think in the big picture for all of the kids long term, you know, the way we looked at it was this is going to be good for them, you know, for later on in their careers. It's going to be good for our team and for our program. Figure out how to deal with, you know, times that are tough and times that things aren't going well for you. But I think, you know, Ty Pelton Bice is one of those guys that missed last year. He transferred here, and he's from Madison. His dad played here. His mom was an athlete at our school as well. His connection to the program, his connection to the younger players, and how he kind of helped us through that was what I thought was one of the key points of it. I think he was able to, you know, at certain times say some things that needed to be said. I think he rallied the team lots of different times when things looked like they were going spiraling down. He figured out how to step up and not only play well and become an extremely important part of our team, but I think what he's done in the room was important. I'll give you an example. Last week, we were down 3-0 Saturday night at Ohio State, and what was kind of a meaningless game when you look at the big picture. You know, we had played well the previous few weeks. We were kind of ready for playoffs. Started the game, we didn't get any bounces early in the game. We fell behind 3-0, and there was a timeout. You know, coaches are trying to get the guys to stay in the game. And he grabbed a group and said, "Hey, boys, listen, we're going to win this game. This is how we're going to do it." He gave a few simple instructions and a few words of encouragement to gain the confidence back on that bench. And I think little things like that, there's been different points when different guys have stepped up. But Ty Pelton Bice doesn't have an A, doesn't have a C on his sweater. But I think that was an example of guy recognizing the time and the responsibility of taking on some leadership, which makes it easier on your captains when guys are able to do that. So I think that was one of the key times, but he's done it multiple times, as have other players.
Well, Coach, thank you very much for your time, and best of luck in the tournament.
Thanks, you guys. Thanks, Adam.
The next coach on the teleconference is Minnesota head coach Bob Motzko. The Gophers are the number 4 seed in the Big Ten tournament and will host Notre Dame in a quarterfinal series this weekend. Coach, good morning to you. If you'd like to make any opening comments, then we'll go ahead and take questions.
Good morning. No, we're excited for the next chapter of this season, and we've written a full book this year. Our guys have persevered through, you know, ups and downs early, became a very steady team. We put ourselves in a great position here in the last couple of weeks, and we fell a little bit short. But I think it's just another sign for us to move forward and kind of battle through a little adversity that we had here the last couple of weeks. But our guys are excited and they're ready, and we're ready to take Notre Dame on.
Thank you, Coach. We'll go ahead and take questions now.
To ask an audio question, please press *1. Your first question comes from the line of Fred Plest with Big Ten.
Hey, morning, Bob. When at what point, or was there ever a point, you know, everybody keeps calling your team, it's the youngest team in college hockey. Was there a point when you said or the players said, "Hey, we're not going to talk about that anymore. It's not an excuse. We've played our whole lives. Let's get this done."
Yeah, I don't think we ever talked about it. I think it was talked about away from us. You know, it's been a media thing. And you can get beat up in our market a little bit here, how we're covered. But early in the season, I'm going to just give you a quick snapshot, is, you know, we got thumped a couple Friday nights pretty good. But our group would bounce back Saturday and the next Monday and the next week every time it happened. And so there was always this little pull within our group to keep moving forward. We never talked about our age. We just talked about moving forward and getting better. And then the Christmas break was the key for us. We needed to step away for a few weeks, come back. And then that's when the tide turned, is when we came back. And kind of turn the corner for our season.
How has Jack LaFontaine's transition, I guess, how would you describe that? Seamless? How's he fit in to your culture or emerging culture?
Yeah, I'll tell you. I mean, it probably a little bit like our team. Both goalies between LaFontaine and Mo have done a good job for us, and they both took their lumps early in the year, but they didn't let it get too far away, and they bounced back and always came back to have a good game. And that's one thing with Jack, a little more experienced and been around a little, you know, longer than Mo had been. And right after Christmas, we kept going with both goalies, and I pretty much came to the, and I think everyone within our program thought, okay, we're just going to play both goalies, and you know, kind of one had to have a hot streak versus one team. You know, one guy played better against Ohio State, one guy played better against Michigan State. But then right at the end, I kind of went back to Jack 2 weeks in a row. He did good. So I gave him a third week, and he stayed very solid. And that was a kind of like our team, our goaltending. They got beat up a little bit early, but they didn't let it go too far. And Jack, you know, real pleased with great work ethic, really wants this team on his back. And he's given us a chance right now. And down the stretch, you know, we had, you know, this last six games have been a tough stretch for us. Goaltending's been outstanding for us, so that's not one of our issues right now. We're back to, we need to score some goals.
Your next question comes from the line of Dan Kelly with Big Ten.
Bob, with the possibility of playing three games this week, does it affect your preparation and or your routine at all this week or this weekend?
Well, I've been doing this a while, and I can tell you I've been in a whole bunch of three-game series. And I can guarantee you the way it played out with our team, we're going to see overtime too. And the way Notre Dame and our teams have lined up. So I think we tied twice. So I think it's inevitable that this thing could be three games. You're going to see overtime. We had to take a day off this week, and that's going to be today. And you know, I've talked to a few of my colleagues, and we're all saying the same thing. This is the worst weekend in college hockey. It's the survival weekend to move forward, and you have to anticipate everything could happen. Nothing's going to be easy for any team in our league and or even around the country in these two game series, best two or three.
Your last question comes from the line of Mike Morelli with NHL.com.
Hey, Bob. How's it going?
Hi, Mike.
Good to talk
Very
to you.
Good.
How's it going? Yep. Hey, Bob, freshman forward Ben Myers made some really nice contributions to your club this year. I know he played 2+ seasons in the USHL before joining the program, so he's got that maturity about him. How impactful has he been?
He's probably the most impactful player we had. We have 12 new hockey players, and we lost 12 guys from last year's team. This was almost like hitting ground zero again in year two at Minnesota. And Ben arguably could be one of our catalysts for us because he centers one of our top lines. There are a lot of nights he's our best player. He plays on the power play, penalty kill. We can play him against other teams' top players. It's just been invaluable what he's brought. And he is just a steady ball of energy, quiet away from the rink. But he plays with his you know, the throttle down every night. And he's just a heck of a player. And, boy, we're fortunate to have him.
Thanks, Bob. Good luck.
Thanks, Mike.
Coach, thank you very much for your time and best of luck in the tournament.
All right, thanks so much.
The next coach on the teleconference is Penn State's Guy Gadowski. The Nittany Lions earned their first Big Ten championship and are the number one seed in the Big Ten tournament. Penn State has a bye this weekend and will host the lowest seeded advancing team from the quarterfinals in a single elimination semifinal on March 14th. Coach, congratulations first on the Big Ten championship. If you could go ahead and make some opening comments, then we'll go ahead and take questions.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I really don't have much to say. Happy to be in this position, and we'll sit back and watch for the weekend.
Thanks, Coach. We'll open it up for questions now.
To ask a question, please press star 1. Your first question comes from the line of Jeff Myers with The Rink Live.
Guy, first of all, congratulations on the Big Ten title. Secondly, how do you handle a two-week break? Did you send all your guys off on spring break or anything fun?
Well, thanks, Jess. No, you know what? This is new for us. I haven't been a part of it, but, you know, I think every individual is a little bit different. Some guys are raring to go, and some guys have bumps and bruises that could really welcome this break. So the way we're approaching it is just we're going to take a few days off, and when we take days off, we're taking days off. And when we come to the rink and work, we're going to work. That's our approach.
Your next question comes from the line of Dan Kelly with Big Ten.
Guy, it's a real tough question to figure out who's the goaltender of the year in the conference, and Peyton Jones, I think, might even get lost in the shuffle a little bit, but how would you describe, you know, you've seen Peyton a few years now, how would you describe his current season?
Yeah, well, first, this certainly has been an extremely strong year of goaltenders in the Big Ten Conference, for sure, but I tell you what, we wouldn't trade Peyton for any of them, no chance. He's been so consistent, and so even keeled, like consistent in performance, but also so consistent in mentality and just his demeanor. And I think that's been a really huge factor into how we were allowing us to jump back from when we were hitting some of those valleys that we did. So yeah, he's been extremely consistent in performance and demeanor.
Once again, to ask a question, please press star 1. Your next question comes from the line of David Eckert with Blue White Illustrated.
Hey, Guy. How you doing?
Good, David. How are you?
Fantastic. I wanted to ask you a little bit about Clayton Phillips. Haven't gotten the chance to ask you about him since he came back. What did you think of his series against Minnesota, and what are you looking for from him moving ahead here?
Yeah, I mean, he's one of those guys that that could use the break right now. Obviously, he's been in and out because of injury a little bit here, so this is going to be a welcome break for him. But certainly for what he does for us, and I imagine he would do for any team in the country, is he adds a lot of speed, agility, and vision on the back end, and that's something that fits us very well. So he has been everything that we had hoped. And when he is healthy, which this break is certainly going to help, he's awesome.
Once again, to ask a question, please press star 1.
Coach, you have a bye this week, so I'll ask you a little longer-term question. You know, 6 years ago, your program was at the tournament looking for its first win at an event like this. You've had a lot of milestones along the way, whether it was winning the first Big Ten tournament championship or reaching the number one ranking. Where does winning a regular season title fit kind of within those other milestones?
For us, we feel really, really good about this one because specifically the teams in the Big Ten this year, this is, at least in my opinion, by far the best in terms of this most skill and the tightest league, I think that we've had since I've been here, and all teams are excellent. Every team had a really good chance to, you know, you could make an argument for any team that is going to end up on top at the start of the year. And so for us to be able to come away from the challenges that we've had and correct when we were going the wrong way and come out on top over the course of a season makes us feel really good, as I said, specifically because of the quality of the teams in the conference this year.
You have a question from the line of Dan Kelly with Big Ten.
Guy, you've seen a lot of these great players grow up and involved in big moments. These, you know, the Limoges and the Liam folks and a lot of these players, even a Peyton, their first experiences in the playoffs, were they nervous? Were they awed by these moments at all?
I remember when you, not with Limo, but for the others that you mentioned, I mean, their first playoff experience was the year that they won the championship. And yeah, that was a great opportunity to really grow and to, I guess, get the confidence that in those big moments that they do have what it takes to come through it. And I think that's a big thing. I really do. And that's something that you can't really coach, teach, or show on video. You have to go through it. So in that regard, I think we have a lot of those players that feel that way. And with Limo and others, we've had some pretty big series recently in playoffs as well. So in that regard, in terms of I don't know how to verbalize this, if it's playoff tested or however you want to say it, but yeah, we feel pretty comfortable that we've shown before that we can have success in those type of moments.
Once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1. Once again, that is star 1 to ask a question. You have a question from the line of Todd Milsky with Wisconsin State Journal.
Hey, guys. I was wondering if you can maybe assess where Cole Hultz has grown as a defender over the last couple of years.
Yeah, sure. Although I think the growth, the reason this is tough for me is because he was just so good from day one. His game was so mature from day one. I guess there's a few things that I love about Cole. He is probably the lowest maintenance player that performs the highest that I've ever coached. I think he asked one question his freshman year and then did it to a T, and he's just been, he's so pro-like. He's just so consistent and so low maintenance. He's just, I'd take 25 of him any day. So I don't want to downplay his growth simply because he started at such a high mature level.
Well, Coach, thank you for your time today and best of luck in the tournament.
Thank you very much.
The next coach on the teleconference is Michigan head coach Mel Pearson. The third-seeded Wolverines will host number 6 Michigan State in a quarterfinal series beginning on Friday. Coach, good morning, and thank you for joining us. If you'd like to make some opening comments, then we'll go ahead and take questions.
Yes, good morning. Happy to be with you. I just want to send out our congratulations from myself, our staff, to Guy Gadowski and his program. They've done a great job there at Penn State, so congrats to them. Just really feel good about our team right now. At one point, we were 0-6-1 at the Big Ten, looking to play Wisconsin and Penn State. We weren't sure if we were ever going to win a Big Ten game. So for our guys to hang in there in the first half and finish where we did in the standings and to get home ice going to Minnesota and having to do that, I'm really proud and happy for our players. They've done a great job, and all led by our seniors. 4 of our 5 leading scorers are your seniors. 2 of our top defensemen are seniors, and they've done a great job leading this team and lead us to where we are. But, again, a number of coaches have mentioned this. This conference this year is, from top to bottom, as good as any. You look at the teams, especially overall records. You know, Wisconsin's got 14 wins, and it just goes up to maybe 20 from there, but everybody's right in between. Anybody can beat anybody on a given night. I think it's going to make for a very exciting playoff.
Thank you, Coach. We'll go ahead and open the call for questions now.
If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1. Once again, that is star 1 to ask an audio question. Your first question comes from the line of Dan Kelly with Big Ten.
Hey, Mel, would it be fair to say, I guess a two-parter here, would it be fair to say that Strauss Mann has been your team MVP this year, and is his best asset his quickness?
Good morning, Dan. Yeah, absolutely. He's our MVP. Even when we were struggling earlier in the season, he played extremely well. He kept us in every game, gave us a chance to win when we weren't scoring goals. And finally, we found our goal-scoring touch, but his game has remained solid. You know, just his approach to the game, Dan. I think quickness is all part of it, but his positioning, it's not one of the bigger goalies in the league, but obviously just how he approaches the game, and we see it every day as work ethic here, whether it's on the ice or off the ice. He's really a student of the game, and you hear that a lot, but he really is. I mean, he wants to sit on the penalty-killing videos. He wants to know what the other team's power play is doing. He wants to see his own video of that, where guys are positioned, who's shooting the puck. I think that's really why he's had a lot of success, because of his approach and his attention to details playing his position.
Your next question comes from the line of Nathan Wells with NCAA.com.
Good morning, Coach.
Yeah, hey, Nate, how are you?
I'm doing well.
This is the second time in 3 years that your team has just gone on a really hot run during the second half. You move up the paralyzed more than any other team. What similarities does this team have to that 2018 team, and how is this coaching job, coaching this year's team, contrasted to that one?
Yeah, good question. Thank you. There's so many similarities. Just, you know, 2 years ago, we were two games under 500, you know, after we played Notre Dame after the Christmas break with a very tough schedule coming up. And we found a goalie. Hayden Levine came in and played extremely well, and their team went on, like you said, quite a run. We lost a player that year with a shoulder surgery. Will Lockwood was out the whole second half. Similar this year, we found a goalie. I think we found him a little bit earlier, but nonetheless, we've been able to score some goals. And even at Christmas time, you know, our record was not very good. So we've lost another player to shoulder injury. That's 3 years in a row now. We've lost a kid for the whole second half. Eric Ciccolini, a New York Ranger draft pick, a real good player for us. We're without him. But having said that, so many similarities in how we played. As far as coaching goes, I've always been more about the second half. I know you have to play well in the first half and try and scratch out some wins, but with so many new faces this year and without three of our top defensemen from last year, it took us a while to figure things out and who could play with who. And we had so many injuries the first half. I think we've had more injuries than any, obviously more game missed injuries than any team in our conference, probably by head and shoulders. So we finally got healthy, and then, you know, we just let them play. But all through it, our leaders were really good. They kept continuing to play hard, and we knew we had a good team, but you still have to go out and do it, and leaders stayed very positive through the tough times. Like I said, we were 0-6-1, dead in the water, going nowhere, and we finally scratched out a win in Wisconsin, and then the following weekend beat Penn State, and I think we're still 2-7-1 at Christmas in the Big Ten. But these guys have hung in there, and we've been really positive with this group. It's hard to get on them when you're not playing well and things aren't going south because everybody's on you. So I think we just stayed real positive like we did 2 years ago. We learned a lot from that team 2 years ago, and I think as a staff, we put a lot of that to play this year with this team.
Thanks, Coach.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Daley Johnson with Michigan Daily. Daley Johnson, your line is open.
Sorry, good morning, Mel. I'm just wondering what your thoughts are on how Michigan matches up with Michigan State.
Yeah, you know, it really didn't matter who we were playing or where we were playing in the first round. I really mean that. I think because of the competitive balance this year in the Big Ten. Obviously, we know them very well. We just played them a couple weeks ago. Big rival. We know a lot of their players. They know our players. So there's not going to be a lot of surprises in this series, and it's going to be a hard-fought series. I don't know if there's really any favorite in any of the series in the Big Ten. There really aren't. It's just you're going to have to get some breaks and some bounces, and you're going to have to play your game. So we had two real good series with them. They swept us early. We swept them late. But like I said, it doesn't really what matchup we got. It's just we're a little more familiar with them, and obviously it's a big rival. So we're looking forward to it. It should be an exciting weekend of hockey here at Yost Ice Arena.
Great. Thank you.
Thanks.
Once again, to ask a question, please press star 1. Your next question comes from the line of Dan Kelly with Big Ten.
Hey, Mel, back to that adversity and facing the injuries in the first half of the season, was there anybody that really took advantage of that opportunity that might not have had that opportunity without those injuries and now is shining for you guys?
Well, I think Nick Granowitz, obviously, is one of those players. You know, Nick has 7 goals for our team, and he's only played 19 games. You know, I don't know if we have right in for all rookie team. I think I didn't put him on at the time we had to fill out ballots, but when you go through Big Ten rookie scoring, I mean, he's right up there with his 7-4. So he's a guy who I think really took advantage of it, more so than any other player.
Once again, to ask a question, please press star 1. You have a question from the line of Mike Morrell with NHL.com.
Hey, Mel, thanks for doing this. I'm going a little bit off the board here, but you left no choice because you've created a monster in Vancouver, Mel.
Hey, I ran into one of their scouts this weekend in Minnesota, Mike, and he said he owes me a player because they took Quinn out so early, and I said, damn right you do. You do owe me a player. So find me one, please. But, yeah, Quinn would have looked okay in our lineup this year, as well as Josh Norris, two sophomores who were sophomores last year that left. And Josh is having a heck of a year in the American Hockey League and obviously played, I think, four or five games now in the NHL. But, yeah, yes, we have. We've created a monster. Thank you.
Is there anything at all that has surprised you with the way Quinn has adapted so well in the NHL this year, Mel?
You know, the only thing I can say, Mike, and thanks for the question, is not hockey-related, not on the ice. I mean, you know, we saw it every day. I saw it our first game Quinn ever played in, our second game in Clarkson as a freshman. He made a play where, you know, I just looked at our coach and says, wow. You know, he's just got that wow factor. He's very competitive. I think if you're not around him and don't know him, when if you just look at him and see him, he looks like he's, you know, 14 years old and a stick boy. But when you're around him and see his competitiveness and his skill level and his just love for the game. So not on the ice. Sometimes I'm worried about, you know, just the off ice socially. You know, here in at campus, you're going to class, you're around a lot of guys, you're doing the same thing, and your days are pretty busy. Where pro, you know, you go to practice at 10:30, you're done by noon. What are you doing the rest of the day? Not on game days, especially a young guy who's, you know, not on his own, but, you know, out in Vancouver and doing some things. So, but I think he's handled it, that part of being a pro, well, too. So not surprised by that, but again, you have to find a way to make sure you're taking care of yourself so you, when the games come around, you can perform. And boy, has he performed. And he's got my vote for Rookie of the Year. Cal McCarr's a heck of a hockey player, but what Quinn has done in a hockey market like Vancouver with the pressure and with a young team like that, he's got my vote.
Good stuff. Thanks for answering that, Mel.
Thanks, Mike. Yeah.
We can take one last question for Coach.
Your last question is from the line of Nolan Bianchi with Detroit News.
Hi, Mel. Just wanted to, you know, when you play a rival team in the first round of a tournament, is there any emphasis that goes into staying poised or maybe keeping the emotions in check?
Absolutely, Nolan. I'm glad you brought that point up, and thanks for the question. That's obviously, we talked about that last series we played them, which was a couple weeks ago, because there's so much emotion wrapped into the series. And just in general, when it's Michigan, Michigan State, and you know in this state, you're one or the other. It's either Michigan or it's Michigan State. There's no in-between. And there's a lot of love-hate in that relationship, more hate than love. So anyway, without any, no doubt about it, especially this time of year with the playoffs and so much on the line, you can't go over the edge. Plus, I think sometimes, Noah, you can get so uptight, so wrapped into it, when the game starts, you got nothing left. You can't find your legs. So our whole, one of our major, I guess, issues this week is that we make sure that we don't go over the edge and over top, that we just, you know, check our emotions, play with emotion, but play whistle to whistle and not get too overhyped before the game starts. Great question.
Great. Thanks, Mel. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Coach, thank you for your time and best of luck in the tournament.
Okay, thank you, everybody, and go Blue.
The final coach on the teleconference is Ohio State head coach Steve Rolick. Ohio State is the number 2 seed in the conference tournament and will host number 7 Wisconsin in a quarterfinal series this weekend. Coach, thank you very much for joining us this morning. If you can give us some opening comments, then we'll go ahead and open the call for questions.
Sure. Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it. That time of year again. Just an exciting time for our league. I think our league showcased that every team is capable, all 7 teams, which I think we talked about before the year, and that hasn't changed day in and day out. To me, it's the toughest league in the country, and we're just really excited to get started here in the playoffs.
Thank you, Coach. We'll go ahead and take questions now.
At this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1. Your first question comes from the line of Todd Milsky with Wisconsin State Journal.
Hey, Steve, with playing Wisconsin 2 weeks in a row, where do you think you guys need to be better than you were last weekend to come out ahead this weekend?
Well, where do we need to be better? Well, we just need to be better all overall. I mean, our detail, and obviously we know we're playing a very talented team. There's no question. When you look at whatever it is, 12 draft picks, and they've been that way all year, very talented. So we got to be dialed in, we got to be detailed, and we got to be better in every facet.
Once again, to ask a question, please press star 1. Your next question comes from the line of Bill Rabinowski with Columbus Dispatch.
Close. Hey, Steve. When I talked to you last, you felt like your team was on the verge of really putting it together. Do you still feel that way, especially after last weekend, and what has to happen?
Well, obviously, I still believe in this team. I mean, we're capable of obviously going out there and winning games every night. I mean, I think we've done that, but also we understand that there's such a fine line between winning and losing in college hockey, and especially in our league, that you got to be consistent 60 minutes. And I've talked about this, you know, most of the year. And I still think our best hockey's out there. And you know, my job as the head coach here is to try to get us ready to play our best 60 minutes Friday night.
I know you obviously would want to have a better result than last weekend, but do you think there's any chance that having that kind of adversity right before the postseason starts could be actually beneficial to you?
Well, you know, obviously you'd love to learn from winning games instead of losing games, but you know, certainly our guys understand that. They're not naive to know that we just walked away and got beat twice by this team. So, you know, certainly their habits this week and their detail and their practice this week is going to have to be better than it has so far, and that's the exciting part.
All right. Thanks, Steve.
Yep.
Once again, to ask a question, please press star 1. Your next question is from the line of Dan Kelly with Big Ten.
Steve, not that it was all bad versus Wisconsin, but what's the biggest thing that you guys learned that you can bring to this weekend's matchup?
Well, you know, the biggest thing for me is just, again, our compete factor from start to finish. You know, it was like a roller coaster a little bit last weekend. We went in spurts, and you can't just go in spurts. You got to be able to continue to put not only back-to-back shifts, but back-to-back periods and stay consistent. And again, I mean, that's my biggest thing coming into the weekend. I mean, we know how good they are, and we know how good every team is in our league. And again, it's hard to win, and you gotta bring it for 60 minutes to win at this level. And again, that's what we're searching for.
Once again, to ask a question, please press star 1.
Well, Coach, thank you for your time this morning, and best of luck in the tournament.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Bye.
That concludes today's Big Ten Coaches Teleconference. I'd like to thank the coaches and media for joining us today. The Big Ten Hockey Tournament gets underway this Friday with the 3 best-of-3 quarterfinal series. Thank you.
This concludes today's conference call. You may now disconnect.